Jared Stanley.
Thank you.
I was thinking, like, when I... can you still get a membership to the Poetry Center?
Yeah.
I got a membership to the Poetry Center first in 1997 when they lived on Moss Street in Oakland by the Rose Garden. And I think I came once because it took me so long to get over here from there. But anyways, this is all by way of saying I'm very excited to be here. Are those furies or constellations sewn on your sleeves? Something in them catches the sun. Your expression is very clean wizard or semi-inscrutable zealot. Calm cheer. I don't ask how it happened. There's a shiver of flesh above the shivering cloth of a magnificent shirt. Dense patterns of royal blue embroidery and rose accents twined on a cream base of linen. The wind catches little hairs reaching out from the nose and ears. Your body moves against itself in great concentration. Arm and hand rise to brush an ancient eyelash from a groove in the cheek, and spotless in this dust, your face is like a baseball mitt. You constantly finger and adjust it. It's rough around us, forthright and shimmering. The light hisses. It becomes you, bright and mute, waving that light in your inapt clothes. A chunk of rock lifts to reveal a handsome slit of earth, and sunned to a blunt color, skin loose and draped on your collar, two kinds of richness of life touch where your clothes do. The crow's feet are evidence of concentration and dry heat. The forehead's patterns are pocked and lunar, set off against the lighthearted control the shirt has over what's left of you. The cool mercy it must be as it adheres to what's left of your hide, and it comes to this afternoon plainness. If your face is a landscape of contempt and your shirt's an allegory of satisfaction, should I just leave you to it, silent but otherwise against nature? I'm a wisp of cruelty, with my eyebrow arched and surprised like this, as if ground birds had exploded underfoot, and there's a bullet hole in my windshield, and my other car's in the arroyo, and you're just standing out here, exposed and glowing like a mosaic, probably hiding some water and buried food. Always permitted you. Rooted out as a misfire or somebody's chance smudge, stabbed into a satisfied mind. Your face was feathered in spittle. Go ahead, lick it off. Be an air-swiped flag. Every single strange example's a blast, a test of evidence. What if we had known then we could bloom a flame like this? Our forthright behavior, our stolen valor, stick fighting, knife fighting, and home defense. Every now and then, wind works your ear, but these facts are never reported. I hate the song. I know all the words. The world is somewhere knocking around in its large history, and defiant fear is like, yap, yap, yap. It made a decision to write lots of poetry about emerging dangers, Gaia, canonical leaves. Lots of poetry circumnavigates the dumpster and bends. The wind smells like warm, expanding strawberry banana yogurt containers. They've been doing that for years. Lots of species are reading the forms of a greasy bag, caught them in their stocks, friendly non-arachnid hamburger thorax. It comes at us from everywhere, readings unfamiliar walking, people crying out, washing oil from feathers. Emergent feathers read the sky feral with slicked back wings. Our seed heads produce a nagging entropic demand. People seem to think it would be a fun game or a funny adventure if it all went up in smoke. Their mouths rimmed with hair gel. We can live off that if we need to. Disaster, the fallen to earth star thistle, so rude in its urges. Our companionable responsibilities secrete a friendship with it, swollen horse mouth. Death God's mouth like a bead of sweat in the parking lot behind the grocery outlet. Mouth like a deathbed. The emergency, it had reached a crisis. Had the emergency reached crisis? Crisis, it had grown up and become rather a lily, a scarf with printed jewelry billowing like it rued its sentience. And some people say the men whose shapes go diffuse in the heavy glare of the sun are so lonesome they make machines cry. The noise makes a claim on the attention of lizards and small mammals. Some say the men forget the sun is fact, so all creatures have to run for small trees on the hill. The light touches every limb with a determined fidelity, slouches over a sheer face. Some say the men, like music in the next room, are desperate to reveal what's hidden behind a public sound. They barge headfirst into scrub and scrounge out a worldless grin. Some say forgive them their single freedom. They make the sand taste of plums. They make snakes giggle underfoot, and that seems curse enough. Their only sound, a shout, slaps the canyon walls. I taste the barb. The grit on their fingers goes loose in my mouth, thorns on a desert peach. At dawn, sweat flees my hair and drips all over the rocks and the sand, but I prefer to lick the ground. I like to think the world is dead and pretty when the fireworks hit the trees. My eyebrow hairs spark. I entertain the notion. Sound and vision and burnt hair smell. The world is dead. Don't get me wrong. It's more than a tinge to write after its fact. Way off in the distance, like a truck with fumes. Beige scrubland with Funyun wrappers. A life among these friends. Why is it so cute for it to look this dead? I want to destroy all the old shapes that prey on my mind and the new ones that'll appear after my eyeballs swarm with the legs of ants feeding on only matter. I have this copper deposit in my eye. Just to think of the legs scuffing across my eyeball gives all my eight senses an excuse for urgent inhuman hope. Even a disappointed creature's eyes will someday finally turn to stone. That's the grunting. That's the texture of feeling required. If you want to feel like you're a part of any last generation, one that feels this way or that about the great and abiding terror of day. But what the hell does that mean? Day is day. Terror is theater. Day is slow and attracted to the beyond time after the ants and the bacteria. A beyond time measured out with one body only, absurd but lyrical, toward which one habitue of afternoon is called, like waves or by the moon, in a furling twitch of distraction. The garbage truck's brakes squeak. A voiceover, I tend to believe stupid things and will them into being crucial by chanting them once or many times. Sophia dropped a veil over the divine realm, and speech is its filigreed pattern. I'm called to believe that because it sounds good. Because it helps me understand why I love it when Werner Herzog says squirrel. Why it's comforting to have proof of others who share my name. The atheist in Oklahoma City, the art professor at Bob Jones University. I'm glad they seem to have a shape at least as interesting as a dream life or the youth I can barely recall, in whose day we used to admire people who refused to be brought low into the busy work and tidying up of a single day. But now, brought to a point where my ass looks alien in the hotel mirror, there's an equanimity I find at odds with the words I loved and love to toss around. Words like crisis. Words that cut from the teeth in a way that doesn't quite fit the competing sense of calm charm that flowers out from a noontime in June, or weeks earlier in the cockeyed new weathers in which I touch a permission I find with my fingers, the light in an evergreen shrub, a niche between abstract power, its metadata, and the close, direct, touching kindness. Who knows? A single source for it, like death to us, but carrying on past our fantasies of destruction. Who wants to live in a fantasy of proof anyway? The texture of any forest's canopy. A flame or calm, these refuges among the weird trees and confusing whistling reveal measures emotions that balance, and then our declarations of an imbalance. The English beards of Hawaiian kings. Old prose descriptions of the sound of eucalyptus leaves scratching each other in a hot wind. I get confused in my trust at times, often in daylight. Are those the screams of invasive birds or children? Is the form of a marsupial an argument? I wish there was a name for it when everyone forgets their own dependence. A huge truck revs fumes all up in my face on purpose, shaking up the unshakable worlds. What the day is doing in its gaily obfuscating blossom, I don't know. So I watch myself hurl, casually anyway, toward another small calamity in my industry, climb around in my husk and push out toward a variety, a genteel sense of time, then molt to become an interstice in some other's time, close as a wiggle in the brain, nearly music, but precisely time, a power of intimacy drawn into the chest through the ears where wit has long intruded, supplanting conversation, but opening out toward its semblance, in which talking is basically the definition of skin, and the word love is thrown around too easily. But it's true. The common jackrabbit has a place in my heart, a shallow depression in the earth where it births its kits. It's that this is their world, and any sense I have of it is pretty dim, a forgotten dependence, lacking in detailed smells and intuitive greetings, a day, the next. The eye only goes so far, and here you can see far, hear far, but why confuse it? Why tangle it in the effusions of the poem, Earth Child, or any trick of the mind, when our task is to be as unsurprised by a future that comes on with an easiness and certainty shot through with zealous foibles? Someone whispers bacon over the intercom. Let me put it this way. Are we to be as astrologers and predict the behavior of some unseen and semi-permanent power? To find a fundamental way to greet the days as they come? To find a confidence somewhat like a steady undulating cloud? The dog absentmindedly licks my ankle. My eye starts to twitch like unsolicited advice, leading it to quiver among its parts, as unsurprised as possible by the end of our world as they knew it. To find a cadence out there, even in the effluent which passed through the blood barrier in my friend's brother's brain after he gulped some sewer water surfing off San Diego, who could have seen it? Some poems are only instructions, still points, dimes, muddy droplets, how to live, what to do. Think like a jackrabbit. Let them think you're extinct. Change the habitat. We creatures call it hiding. Or we'll all have tender feet in the new world. Do these console? At first, the feet grow calloused and hard. Equanimity is a kind of retreat and adaptation. But isn't poetry as much the fertile making of a new sense of how we might hide, as it is a resistant place for imagining new ways of crying outside phenomena like dreamy bioengineering, which is bullshit until it saves your life? They promise to make me smarter. I want to be dependent. My equanimity folds together in a barely known cadence, and to barely know it is a trick I learned from desert creatures crawling on their bellies or hopping from thorn to thorn. And if I barely hold it in my ear, how do I speak to a future when there's so much to be clasped and reheld together by the convivial self-organization of observation? Anyway, my childhood marshes will be gone when I'm old, inundated by the ocean like I'm inundated by the day. Memorials, nope. I might be forgetting my own dependence, trying to haunt the world I was born into. Full careen variety of tidbits lit from below. Put the TV in front of the picture window. Clouds shrouded in clouds, other touches. Who you are to me and I to you as you read this. Did you become an interstice? An idea I have about you. In the slick light off these fronds, I'm as jealous of the heavy colors as I am of the droplets which hit the tip of each leaf like a drum. I move often towards dream, which has its own fundamental intranslatability, a property it shares with the future in the word apple. If I described the birdsong, you'd think I was lying. But then there's no explaining who's fooling who in the animal arts of deception, instruction, and equanimity, ancient as the shape of a blink, but younger by far than the day. This poem is called Trinity Bellwoods, and the tone is going to change now of the reading. So I'm going to indicate that I'm going to read two new poems. This one was written in Toronto in June, so it takes the name of a park in Toronto. Trinity Bellwoods. Meet me at the whitewashed gate, touching gray northern blues and thick jasmine. Maybe the rain will start. And if the rain starts, meet me in any doorstep in your water-darkened linen. Wipe the tiny cupped blossoms from the step. Sit down and look. Solid intimacy actually exists. Sit. Stand. Put your ear to the gate. The Queen Street truck exhaust is cloudy, an aide de memoir for my shape to try on. So I pass by it first. Cough a little dust from the floor of a memory palace I'd been sweeping just now, a little bit sucked in, laughing at some picture hung askew in the lobby. By an accident of birth, I could arrive in this air around a gate, could see a tree as patient and waiting, an unfamiliar slop of green. This one, like that other one you've met before, that one over there, off to the side with my hand out like this. Don't I know your name? The disenchanting drizzle pooled in a vein on my wrist. Hits the tip of the sun-faded visor of your cap. Don't you take my hand? I cough more dust from the floor, so we meet, or are under, the temperate green cream chestnut blooms, the ones that stick to a face, to the sidewalk and a gate, in a mystery, in an organism, in a letter, in a park, in the air around a gate. Don't we laugh in it? Push out something less than air. At least there's no words and some breath. Having matured into a mutual, majestic look, a light step and a hover over the other side of the fence. Two gentle but insistent captains of ruse spread all over Trinity Bellwoods. Oh man, the jasmine really creamed the air, the sober, leafy, diffident air. As good a place as any to pop out of the earth the easy way north. Say goodbye to a citizen, a thing that doesn't smell. Hello, jasmine. Hi, green cream scents. The pure must not smell like anything at all. At least that's not our hell. And then this is a... I've not been able to read this poem anywhere because it doesn't make sense in most contexts. It may not even make sense in this context, but this is an elegy for Joanne Kiger. And I wrote this in the couple weeks after she died last, was that March of 2017. So it's written to Joanne, mostly from the East, from trains in the East, so that's a little odd. Oaks poke the mist, rocks lip the water. So what's the point? That we're the adults now? Now we're the people whose actions are sometimes questions? Now we have to stop talking to every goddamn tree? Things like to interfinger. I get it. Every war is touch at the time of our choosing. I get it. But gunmen, the ground under you will grind you up. Why kill? You need to rub up on each other and then take a fucking nap. There was birdsong in the Mesozoic, and there will be annoying robins tomorrow. Falcons snap the necks of ducks. A low red light weighs on a mountain across the river, and not even what is above knows what is above. Whims, possibility, and love. There's a lovely cup in the house of an old friend who knows me well, placed on her big green table by an arm extending from a cloud. It came at me through the sunroof. Typical light, typical moss. I sip at your death, I mean book, and there's this nauseous feeling in my earbuds, so I tried drinking water instead. Lay my purple on the grass, sings Anoni. Nay, who really cares about birth names anymore? You, as letters, fill my cup. Did the arm come from the moon? How it pulled at my tides. Joanne Elizabeth. Hokusai changed his name each time he changed his style. You changed your style, but you kept your name and gave it to that book, Joanne. And then there was that other book, The Distressed Look, a joke about jeans and George Bush. Anoni, whose new album B told me about a few days ago in Philadelphia, has made anguish at the polyvalent death of our kind of world and interfingered reality and sound. Now you can hear how a radar mad whale is made to vibrate, driven to a beach by a tinny arrow of naval bullshit. Crammed people land, horror vacui. Aren't submarines sad? It's sad a thing exists which can't trust its ability. A refrigerator can sing along with Maria Muldaur in a monolithic and inevitable way. At least it never knows itself. At least it never teaches children. I had this uncle who stabbed people for the USA. Sonic warfare is see-through and cruel. This world, it's no. Her book's the right size to block out their sun. B has a guest room full of your broadsides. I took a nap, and then we walked calmly through Philadelphia. A man's image has moved to 1841 Pashuk Avenue. Maybe that's where you started being poems. Which, yes, can be touched, but it's not quite skin, is it? Two tears well up. In emails, you referred to yourself in single quotes. Yes, of course I remember your book, Made of Forest, and you're a poem dedicated to me, identifying yourself as a materialist raccoon. There was an apple tree and a crystal under Tamalpais. We took turns reading from Alan's last book. Chopping apples for the fruit compote. Suffer, 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 suffer. Just as Donald at the other end of the table halved one from the tree. We laughed, it suffered. I'm in a valley on the other side of the continent reading from your little book of Oaxaca, a gift from C. He crossed out the word God on the cover, so now it reads Joanne Kiger never dies. An existential crash of alarming proportions. Reading this makes me nervous and iridescent. Ruby-throated, silent except for odd little chirps. Such an affectation being a person. So that's when California tumbled into the sea. I can't remember which war we're in. Is this one about real estate? I'm pierced when I doubt. Which internal organ is this, I feel? A tickling finger from a cloud. War, 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 war in the house of an old friend. A passerby's slacks. Cup drape, gray light in their drape. A curiosity in the blood, you called it. A living mirror of the dead at play. As when you're alive, the water feels private, so I steal it from my cup. Did it hurt? I hope not. Hokusai was adopted by professional mirror makers. I touch wet pebbles and curse listlessly. You spilled your purple on the grass. It's hard to find a war that cares how all in it our contempt for it makes us. These wars seem to last about a week, so the world will know how little attention is required. But then what do I know? Summer's average vultures. Curiosity in the water, curiosity in the blood, a serious and stylish person in your self-possession and depression. When the power of belief was from you, I cupped it and swallowed like usual. As for my overbearing interest, what could it look like to them? The them we dream about, the them we insert in the dream. So here's my fascination, which retains its ill-advised quail-like specificity. It's only my open play, a dare of greeting. The deer eat tender shoots and glance over their shoulders. Your nose looks dry, it looks dry. You have wary eyes, some fur rubbed off on a tree. Thank you.